Welcome back to the Mission Church podcast with Pastor David Menard. In part one of our sermon on finding strength in troubling times, we explored Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 19, where Daniel humbled himself before God and was strengthened in his weakness. This is part two, where we will go deeper into Daniel chapter 10, starting at verse 20, where Daniel is now strengthened and commissioned by God. Let's dive back in and discover the remarkable revelations God has for us.
We left off on 19, right? Look at verse 20. Daniel is now strengthened. He's commissioned. He's saying, man, Lord, I can do it now. I'm ready to go be a prophet to the nation again. In verse 20, the angel says to him, do you know why I have come to you? And now we get a parenthetical statement. We'll read the parenthetical statement. And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. This spiritual realm, this angelic fallen angel. Persia, by the way, is Iran. And there is a prince of Persia, prince of Iran, still trying to attack Israel today. Spiritual battle continues. And when I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come. This is interesting because this is just Bible prophecy even here. The kingdom that came after the Medo-Persian Empire was the Grecian Empire. But what's amazing is this is written here in Daniel 10 at 536 BC. The Grecian Empire doesn't come until 334 BC, 200 years later. And here we see this angelic realm is outside of time. He says, hey, the next world empire that's coming is the Grecian Empire, and I got to fight that spiritual battle too. And we get a glimpse into the behind-the-scenes world of what is happening in the kingdoms on earth. But look at this, verse 20. This is this fascinating verse I want to take you to. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. The word scripture there in the New King James is unfortunately a bad translation. You can scratch out scripture and you can write book above it. All the other translations use book. New King James is a phenomenal translation, but the guys missed it here. I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. And you say, what is the book of truth? What is the book of truth? It's not the Bible. This is why this is such a fascinating verse. This book of truth. It is only mentioned three times, I believe, in the Bible. And this is off of memory, so don't quote me on this. But I believe once in Isaiah and once in Ezekiel, this book of truth is mentioned. And you know what this book of truth is? This book of truth is God's history of the nations that have been laid out before time ever began. All the kingdoms of the earth planned out and laid out before time ever began. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ laid out and planned out before time ever began. And there are things that are in this book of truth that God wants to reveal to us. And he puts some of those things from the book of truth into the Bible. And look at this again. Look at verse 20. Do you know why I have come to you? And you can then draw a little arrow to 21. Because I want to tell you some of the things that are noted in this book of truth. Well, what are they? Well, they're Daniel chapter 7, they're Daniel chapter 9, they're Daniel chapter 10 and 11. We get some of these things that are in God's book of truth that are revealed to us in the scripture. And God, the angel is telling Daniel, Daniel, I want to take some more of these things of God's book of truth so that you can put them in front of the people of Israel and they will become scripture for people for all of the ages. Is that not amazing? I apologize for the mess today. Excuse the mess when you came in. Front doors were closed and big holes and everything else. And we got the crew working on this, right? Do you know when that plan started? Months and months and months ago. One of the elders had a vision of what we could do. And then we had an architect draw it up. And that was expensive. My gosh, you architects are making money, man. And then we went to the city for permits, and that took time. And then once all that gets done, then the builders can actually do the work, right? Well, if we have all that for a little remodeling of the church, think about what God has of the universe. He's laid out all plans before they ever began. And I want to leave you with this thought. Do you know how the Bible can give us prophecy that foretells human history with incredible precision and accuracy? Well, here's how. God has already decided how human history will unfold. It's already been decided. And here's what I want you to see. Here's why I'm telling you this. The Bible is the only religious book in existence with detailed prophecies that accurately come to pass. It is the only book in existence. There is no other. There is not one. And you say, well, like what? Like what are you talking about? Well, let me give you a few examples. 4,100 years ago, 2091 BC, God tells a man named Abraham, I am going to make you into a great nation. And that great nation that I make you into is going to go into Egypt. And they are going to be there in Egypt, and they are going to be turned into slaves. And they will be slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And after 400 years, I will send you a deliverer. And he will lead the people out of Egypt. And I will bless them with the wealth of Egypt when that happens. The crazy thing is, guess how many people were in the nation Israel in 2091 BC when God tells Abraham this? Zero. And he tells them all of this. And sure enough, 200 years later, Israel goes into Egypt, just like God said. Do you know how long 200 years is? That's how long we've been a country. 200 years later, they go into Egypt, and it happens just like God says. And they become slaves, just like God says. And they're slaves for 400 years. And while they're slaves there, they turn into over 3 million in number, a mighty nation. And on 1446 BC, Moses delivers Israel out of Egypt, and they come out with great wealth, fulfilling every prophecy God gave Abraham in exquisite detail 650 years in advance. How does that happen? Well, God has a book of human history that's laid out before it ever happens. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the most amazing prophecy ever in the Bible, where at 539 BC, think of that, 539 BC, God would tell through Daniel the very day that Jesus would ride in to Jerusalem as the Messiah on a donkey on Palm Sunday. And we did the math. We saw it all. It didn't happen to the very year. It didn't happen to the very month. It didn't happen to the very week. It happened to the very day. Incredible. How do you explain that? Written 539 BC. These are not Nostradamus, really nebulous, could mean anything kind of prophecies. These are narrow, specific prophecies. How about this one, Psalm 22, that they would pierce the Messiah's hands and feet. Do you know when Psalm 22 was written? 1010 BC. Think of it. Take a look at the Psalm on your screens. Let me hear you read it. I am being poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like potsherd. My tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me, and they pierced my hands and my feet. This is what happened to Jesus on the cross, written 1010 BC, telling everything that he's going to go through on the cross in detail. Look at the rest of the verse. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. How in the world does the Bible give such accurate, detailed prophecies? Well, God has a book. Here's another one. God told Israel, the Jews, that they would be scattered all over the earth, but he would gather them back into their homeland again. Last week, we had this Christian-Jewish alliance, and I used this verse from Isaiah 11:11 when I was speaking there, and it's remarkable. This was written 700 years before Jesus, 700 BC. Take a look at this verse. Let me hear you read it. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord, Yahweh, shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, that's Israel, who are left from Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. Go on. He shall set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and will gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. How in the world? This was written 700 BC. Jesus said this was going to happen. And at 70 AD, it did happen. Rome turned against the Jews, and the diaspora, the Jews were scattered to the four corners of the earth. And from 70 AD, they remained scattered all over the earth. And on May 14th, 1948, when they were at their very weakest, there had just been the biggest genocide that the world has ever seen in World War II. 6 million Jews annihilated. And at their very weakest, God shows himself strong and makes them a nation. May 14th, 1948. Prophesied by Daniel 700 BC. We are talking 2,648 years before it ever happened. And you want to look at what kind of precise detail it happened with? Go back to that previous slide. I circled the word second time. I will set my hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. You know what's fascinating about that? The first regathering had not even happened yet. If you know your Bible, you know Isaiah was written at 700 BC. The Assyrian captivity happened to the northern 10 tribes in 722 BC. And so they were scattered right now. Judah had not been scattered yet. Jerusalem had not been scattered yet and taken captive into Babylon. That had not happened. The 10 northern tribes were never regathered by God. And the first regathering will be the regathering under Cyrus that we just read, Daniel chapter 10, Ezra chapter 1, where 50,000 Jews would be gathered back into the line. That'll be the first regathering. Hasn't even happened yet, and God is already prophesying the second regathering that's going to happen on May 14th, 1948. Wow. All you can say is what? Wow. And what else can you possibly say? Let me give you one more. 2,000 years ago, the Apostle John was given, think of this, 2,000 years ago, the Apostle John was given a prophecy about our day right now. And here's what the prophecy is, Revelation 13, take a look at this. He, the Antichrist, will cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, homeless and CEO, everyone, to receive a mark on their right hand or their foreheads. That no one may be able to buy or sell except he has the mark. You won't get your EBT. You won't get your food stamps. You won't get anything. You, even if you have a bank account, you won't be able to use it unless you have this mark in your hand. No one may be able to buy or sell except he who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Let's go on. Here is wisdom. Let everyone who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. Imperfection, imperfection, imperfection. Satan, pretending to be God. The Antichrist, pretending to be Jesus. And the false prophet, pretending to be the Holy Spirit. 666. Let's go back to this verse. Look what he says. You're going to receive a mark. And the day is coming when you will not be able to access any of your funds in your bank account without that mark. And this king, this ruler, will be able to flip a switch. And if you make social media posts he doesn't like, your bank account gets turned off. And this was written before a computer was ever invented. This was written before an adding machine was ever invented. This was written before electricity was invented. This was written when they were using an abacus, and it describes in precision detail our day today. How does that happen? Because there is a sovereign God outside of time who has a book, who has already declared how the nations are going to go. He is sovereign over all things, and he calls you his child, and you are secure. And he says, don't be afraid. I am with you. Now be strong, and let's do work. Oh, I hope that encourages you. I hope it builds you. I want you to know, Islam and the Quran, not one prophecy that has been fulfilled historically and archaeologically. Not one. Buddhism and the Triputtaka, their little book, not one prophecy that has been fulfilled historically and archaeologically. The Book of Mormon, not one prophecy. No, not one. As a matter of fact, archaeological shows that it's a lie. The Hindus, Puranas. The Puranas doesn't have one single prophecy that has been fulfilled historically and archaeologically. Do you know how many the Bible has? Oh my gosh. There are over 1,800 prophecies, and they have been fulfilled in detail with precision, like some of the ones I have just shown you. Jesus fulfilled over 300 himself at his first coming. I want you to know God is sovereign over all the nations. He's got everything under control. We can bring him all of our troubles, and we can rest in him. And shall we stand on that glorious news? And let me leave you with this benediction. By humbling ourselves before God, he gives us strength in troubling times. God's healing touch strengthens us to run the race that God has set before us. It doesn't matter how big of a sinner you are, if you come to his cross, his grace and his mercy flow freely, and he will restore you and say, this is the way, walk there in it. I want to use your life. And I want you to know God's plans are far bigger and far better than your wildest plans could ever be. You might want to let him be your God. He is sovereign over all things, and you are secure in his love for you. May God bless you.
You've been listening to a message from Pastor David Menard. You may freely share this message with others as long as you don't charge for it. Support for these broadcasts comes from your generous donations that allow us to give away our materials for free. To participate with us, please visit our website at themissionchurch.net. God bless.